Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Hello, people. We have a massive Tuesday show for you. Let's start with the big one.
What's that?
Nude cleaning on the Gold Coast.
It's for real.
It's for real. It's happening. We're going to speak to the brains behind the whole operation. Is everything nude on the Gold Coast?
I don't know.
But
I'll be interested to hear about
this. Let's get up there.
I will. Hey, you've got a sports report us because for the first time, is it in history, an Italian has won?
Has won
the British
major.
Open.
An Italian. What are the Italians good at? What aren't they? Well, golf, traditionally. We'll have a chat. And there's a horse.
Awesome.
There's a horse that refuses to run.
I love that.
Chautauqua.
Yeah,
it's a good horse, too.
Here.
And it's just gone, yeah.
That is a good horse.
I think
I've won some money on that horse.
Well, that's probably why. It's tools down.
Oh, I don't know
We'll get to the bottom of that. Team feuds, Jane. Team feuds is another big topic we'll be talking about.
We will.
We'll be getting callers to chip in.
I'll also have a royal update for you.
Oh, will you?
Yes.
Give me a hint. What's in it?
Well, Megan's sister is up to her mischief again.
Got a thing for her.
I know you have.
She was on my list of.
I'd give her one.
I'd give her one.
Yeah, she's got to be off it. I can't stand
it. No, I like her a lot. Dave O'Neill. Well, I hope he's talking to you.
Well, he should be. I'm supporting Dave 100%.
At all after your controversial comments about Channel 10. And the role of women on TV. You know what we're going to do?
What?
I know this is dangerous, but we're going to open it up to our callers.
Really?
I've had enough. I want to hear what people are thinking
out
there.
I've got faith in our callers.
I do too. I think our audience is relatively
smart. I think
they'll
understand the point I was making, and I'll go over it again.
And we'll put you to air. We want to have a serious conversation about the role of women in TV.
Yeah, all right.
What's wrong with people?
I'm up for that.
Let's do it.
Okay.
All that. Take your calls, take your tweets, so much more. Well,
I'm lucky to be here.
The last couple of days, I've locked myself out of the building and didn't have a pass. Mm. Then you did it yesterday.
I did.
And instead of taking your medicine and going to the second floor, through another radio station and down the stairs back, you just rang down and got someone to come and get you.
Makes sense to me.
Which is what I did today.
Yeah.
It's out of interest. But you found a new one today. Where'd you lock yourself in?
Well, we've had renovations in this building and now there's a kitchen situation where if you go into the kitchen, you need a pass to get out of it because it's got one of those closing glass doors.
You were locked in the kitchen.
I was locked in the kitchen all by myself.
Do you know what? I think that's where Channel 10 wants you. I really do.
I finally found my place.
Get back in the kitchen.
Locked in the kitchen.
And maybe make some hors d'oeuvres for me while I'm doing my show.
And
How'd you get out?
Well, you know what I had to do, Dave?
Hmm.
I had to call a big strong man. I had to call Mickey.
Did you?
Yeah, because he was the closest one.
Bing!
Killed me.
Oh,
trust me, of all people, I didn't want to ring Mick, but I ended up having to.
My phone goes,
that was
bing!
Annoying.
Oh, look out, I've got a message.
What does my message say to you?
I'm locked in the kitchen. Can you please get me? That is hilarious. There you go.
How about your day?
There's
been crazy weather.
Oh, this is incredible.
So
been very blowy, and something's come loose on the roof. I don't know what it is. Thank God, it's not the aerial. I couldn't look at it. Something's come loose on the roof.
Okay.
So I ring a roofing guy, and I go, mate, a bit of an emergency.
First of all, sorry to interrupt. I'm very impressed that you rang a roofing guy. Did you really do it yourself?
I'm paraphrasing. Let's just say someone close to me may have rang.
I was going to say.
For the purposes of this story, it's just easier for me to say I rang.
The fantasy
as opposed
of it.
To my mother. So... rang to go, hi, can you come round?
Yeah.
Oh, there's something loose on the roof. He goes, I can't. It's too windy.
Oh.
Yeah, now, I'm no Einstein. But the point is...
I know. The wind is causing problems and you need it fixed.
It's peak hour for a roofer.
Yeah.
If you're a roofer, you got to get on the roof in the wind because that's where the trouble is.
There's a few safety issues involved
here. OH&S, I would have thought.
Yeah, I think...
Thing to
what do you mean?
It.
But that's their job. You're trained... To
I think they're happy to do it.
Man,
when
if someone's
it's dry.
Trained to put out an oil well, you don't go, I'll just wait till it blows out and then I'll come and have a look.
Well,
you're trained
they might get
to
danger
fix
money.
The oil well. How can you not have a roofer?
It is a thing. Mm. I know that we've had holes in our roof and the rain's been pelting down.
And what happened?
Well, they say we can't fix it because it's wet. We might slip off the roof. And I've gone, jeez. In the meantime, my carpet's getting soaked, mate.
Yes.
So bad.
Speaking about
your safety.
Speaking of soaked, how did your kids go to school today? Were they dry? Remember yesterday you sent them to school damp?
I know.
Any of them sick?
Mm.
I have heard a bit of coughing. Oh. One's gone. I've gone, where's the tissues from the tissue drawer?
That's some of the worst parenting I've ever heard of.
No butter, no tissues.
No butter, no tissues, on. And you sent
this
them
is
to
an
bed.
Onslaught.
Damn. What about you, Dave? Anything happen to you?
Well, Marty, the dog who got fixed up on Friday. What's
when
today?
You say fixed up, you cut his nuts off.
Yeah, de-sexed. Refuses to walk. My dog will not walk.
What do you mean?
Just won't walk. Just crouches and sort of drags his bum along the carpet a little bit, but won't get up.
Because he's embarrassed, because he knows people are going to look around the back.
They're
and
not going to look around the back.
Well, not other dogs. I'm not talking about people.
The dogs,
other dogs
don't
are going to go.
Yeah, the sniff's all the same.
See, I'm not sniffing that.
They can still
Hang
do
on.
That.
A bit light on out the back here.
I think your dog might need to have some depression.
I don't know what we're going to do with him.
I think he needs antidepressants.
Got to take him tomorrow.
That's your answer to everything, isn't it? Pop a pill, Dave.
Sure.
Yeah, quick fix.
Why not?
Can we get Dr. Chris Brown on?
We'll see if Chris can come on this week.
So what does he do? Just lies on the ground?
Mate, he jumps into the bed, like his bed, and then I'll try and get him up to take him out to do his business and just sits down again.
Oh, the poor thing.
Got to put him on a lead and drag him sort of all fours.
He's traumatised.
I don't know what's going on with
him. Let's take David. Beautiful. David's just called through. Hello, David.
Are you there? G'day, mate. How are you?
Good, mate. You're a roof plumber, are you?
Yeah, mate.
Have you been working?
Just want to know what sort of roof plumber this bloke is that went to Malloy's house.
There you go. Soft as butter he was.
Tell him he needs a bag of cement, mate. He should become a concreter.
Wow, snack talking.
You've been up there, David? You've been out and about?
Flat stick all week, mate.
You're a good man,
good on
mate.
You, David.
That's how it works. I'll stay on the line. I'll give you my address.
Yeah.
I'll see you there.
Good call.
That's David. See, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's what this country's based on. People like me, hard at it. Chipping away at the
calling up other people to fix your job.
Getting your mum.
Getting your mummy to call.
Shut up, Dave.
Oh, come on.
At least I don't have a dog that won't walk because I've cut his nuts off.
We better go to a song.
That's pretty much what happened to you.
Let's go to a song and then we'll hear your sports report.
I suppose you do a bit of walking these days, Dave.
All right, mate. Old 42 steps over here. A big show. Dave O'Neill soon.
Who was that?
That's Billy Idol.
Billy Idol.
Dancing with Myself.
Love Billy Idol. One of my favourite hotels to stay at in the world is Chateau Marmont.
Yes.
And he was a classic in residence there.
I can only imagine.
He had trashed it a number of times. Anyway, he woke up one morning. Someone told us, I may have been on the show, the story, but he woke up one morning and there were police cars everywhere. He woke up and goes, oh my God, what have I done now? Right? And he came out to give himself up. And it was the morning that Jim Belushi had committed suicide.
Oh.
Not committed suicide, had a drug overdose. Yeah. That's called what it is. But for the first half hour,
he was
hiding in his room going, oh no,
jeez.
I've done it again.
You like that hotel?
I do like that hotel, and I've had police cars there when I've woken up in the morning. Time for a bit of this.
Kennedy Malloy's Sports Wrap.
Now, Jane, I know you've got it in for golf. You don't like it. You don't care.
I don't. That's not true.
Well, you made Rob turn it off at the dinner table the other day.
I did.
You dropped that out.
It's been an overload of it.
You wouldn't allow him to watch the golf at the table. You said no.
Oh, I did.
You did.
Then it went back on.
At the dinner table.
It's just the commentators for the British Open were very droll. They were very dry and they were not cool guys. And it was the voice that was doing my head in.
Did you hear the guys at Shinnecock Hills, which was the US Open? Oh, can we get that? An off-air conversation went to air. That shouldn't have gone to air.
Oh, I love stuff like that.
He was talking about some bedroom action.
Oh.
It's wild. Can we get that?
Excellent. Let's see if we can get that on the run.
Whoever's getting it.
All right,
we'll have to beep it. But there is a big win, and it is amazing because it's an Italian guy, Francesco Molinari, and he wins by two shots, and he became the first Italian to hold a major
ever.
Title. Isn't that fantastic?
This is 126 years or 140. I'll get the stats. No Italian has ever won it. Now, it was Constantino Rocca. Constantino Rocca. He was probably their best ever golfer.
Right.
He couldn't do it. Great sportsman, the Italians. There's soccer.
Of course.
Motorsports, MotoGP.
Yeah.
Bicycles, Tour de France. They're very, very good.
Jousting.
What?
I've got an off-air problem.
Well, that was on-air, what you just said.
I just realised that, sorry.
I didn't see that in your game changes. You are fencing.
Fencing.
I love that.
You know, there's one thing, too, about Italian sportsmen. They're always dressed really sharp.
Okay, you're being a bit creepy now.
Why?
What are you saying? You
Why is
like
it being
Italian
creepy?
Sportsmen?
I like the way Italians dress. Is what I'm saying, and I did notice the way, because Francesco's 35, Molinari, who won. I thought he looked pretty sharp.
So you're thinking good catch.
Could be.
35, he's Italian, he's just won an Open.
Just won the British Open.
So you know why, and I've done some research, the Italians for golf, it's because traditionally it's an aristocratic sport.
Yes.
You only play it if you're wealthy or been to private schools, like union or something. So they've never done well at it. It's just a bunch of fops running around at the top end. That's interesting that that's its roots. Japan, the same in Japan.
Really? So is it quite an elitist sport?
In those countries. In those countries. Not in our country.
No, okay.
Anyone can grab a set of clubs and
that's true. We're in the lucky country, Mick.
Yeah, well, unless I go overboard. But in Japan, it was such a status symbol. There's golfers in Japan who play their entire lives and never go on a golf course. They go to these driving ranges. Which are like Etihad Stadium or something, where they all just shoot balls into the middle of a oval, and they never, ever get on a golf course.
Why? Why don't they get on a golf course?
It's too exclusive, and not a lot of land in Japan. If you want to buy guys, young boys in Japan, how's this for tricky? You used to sunbake with a golf glove on.
Oh, so it looks like they play.
Then they would go. They go out that night and be drinking at a bar, and girls would go, "Oh my god, he plays golf!"
No way.
Which would automatically give you the status of.
Is that why you enjoy golf so much?
Jane,
is that what you do with your glove?
Maybe Ferrari could make a golf cart.
That would
be good.
That is cool. I like that story. All right. Also, we do the horse one.
This is my favourite story.
This is cute. It's a bit like your dog.
Yeah. Marty, what?
How are we calling the horse again?
Chautauqua.
Chautauqua. And I've actually, over the spring carnivals, had a little bit of a bet on this horse.
Well, it's won $8.8 million in prize money. This is a very good horse.
But won't get out of the box. Won't get out of the
starting gates.
The starting gates.
It refuses to run.
Up to his old tricks. Apparently, this has done it. It's the fifth time he's failed to jump in a trial.
It's changed trainers. It's changed trainers.
Oh, so it's having a sit-in.
It's not a sit-in.
That's funny, is it? It's a horse-in.
It's a horse-in. He's just refusing to go.
But this is an expensive top-breed horse.
$8.8 million. They're trying to get it to the Everest, of course, in Sydney, which is the most $13 million horse race. Changed trainers. It's first time out, I think, with the Hawksdale, and it's just gone. Have you got it there? This is Rose Hill on the weekend.
Off. Now I'm looking for Chautauqua. And I can't find him. He hasn't jumped. Chautauqua hasn't jumped.
Incredible.
That's hilarious. So jockey.
That is like Usain Bolt. Like in the 100 metres, I'm actually sick. Bang. Nah, I might just hang here.
The jockey, Tommy Berry, says, I could feel he was just in a mood. Unfortunately, I pretty much knew what was going to happen before the jump. And he said, my heart sank. I've reached the highest of highs on that horse. And that was heartbreaking.
Most stationary of stationary as well. Oh, you got a whip in your hand and you can't get a horse to move.
Isn't that fascinating? We'll ask Dr.
Ian Thorpe standing on the blocks going, honey, my second. Yeah, nah, not today. I'm not in the mood. I'd be like Steve Smith going, I'm not coming out. That is...
Chautauqua.
And look, you don't know what you're talking about, but I've been in a film about
horses. Sorry, that's right. You're an expert on horse racing.
So if anyone wants to ask me...
What role did you play again? What were you...
A shady trainer.
I prefer shonky. A shonky horse trainer. I ran into Rachel Griffiths the other night and I said, if I'm not in that, if I hit the cutting room floor, I will.
I think you've just guaranteed yourself to hit the cutting room floor. All right. Don't be disappointed.
All right. Here we go.
All right. Coming back, because Jane's caused some headlines in the last 48 hours.
Reflects poorly on all of us and our show.
I won't apologise.
All right. We're going to talk about the role of women on TV with Jane Kennedy, who stirred this pot, and there's been a lot of reaction.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Kennedy Malloy.
They're off. Now I'm looking for Chautauqua and I can't find him. He hasn't jumped. Chautauqua hasn't jumped.
When you say they're off, technically most of them are off. We've all seen the footage. I've seen them. A lot of them don't like going into the barriers.
No, that's true.
It's often really funny to see four guys behind a horse pushing one. big ass sitting there going, yeah, I don't think so. But to not run is
But horses
pretty...
are so smart. Yeah, they're so smart, so. And they've just gone, I'm nut, nut. And did you say he's changed trainer?
He changed trainer.
Well, he's not happy.
That's why he changed, because he didn't jump four times with the last trainer. The new Bob said, we'll give it a go.
It's my new horsey hero.
I don't think it can go on forever, though, because people bet on these things.
Oh, yeah.
I think they need to
There's
sort
a bit
it.
Of money involved.
Graham's on the line. Graham, what's your observation?
Hey, love the show, guys. How Thanks. You going?
Good, mate. What's your observation?
Mate, I reckon, Melbourne Cup coming up, it's a real stayer.
It's a real stayer. It's not going anywhere.
I'm actually going on a cruise to Melbourne Cup with my wife, and my wife, I had to actually explain it to my wife. Right. A stayer is a long-distance runner, not a stayer in the barriers.
Not a stayer in the barriers.
Well, you know what you should do at the Melbourne Cup, because it's 3,200 metres.
Yeah.
Stay in the barriers and then join them the next time round.
Second lap.
And then just nip out.
That sounds what I used to do that.
Just wave the flag.
You know what I'd do?
Wave the flag, I'm a winner.
You know what I reckon they should do for the Melbourne Cup occasionally? Go and get Farlap out of the museum and just put it in the barrier on the end. Just to have... it'd be great to think, Farlap's still part of the Melbourne Cup. Greg, you have something else from the sports report?
I do. When you were talking about the Ferrari golf cart, we were on Hamilton Island.
Well, now that an Italian has won a major, I think Ferrari should get involved.
That's what I think too. But we have we were driving around Hamilton Island on a rented golf cart and cruising around, and we came across a Ferrari golf cart with Ferrari pitched seats, the wheels, the Ferrari red.
What? With a prancing pony on the side.
Did you see who was driving it?
And we didn't get to see who was driving. It was out the front of a pretty luxurious...
It wasn't an actual Ferrari that had been converted into a golf car, was it?
Could have been squashed up and compressed a little bit. But right.
Well, I'll be on the blower on the weekend. If the Ferrari have made a golf cart, I want it.
Yeah.
I could get home from the clubhouse in record time.
Yeah.
Good on you, boys, girls. Thank you.
Love
now,
it.
Jane Kennedy, you have started a national conversation about roles of women in TV. It started on the show yesterday. It's still raging. There's talk back. There's letters to the editors. Are you happy? What do you want? You started it. It's reflecting poorly on all of us. Me and Dave can't go
I'm
out.
I'm sure you can handle it, you two.
What is
I'm
it?
I'm sure you'll be fine. Well, look, all I have observed is that I may have, with another couple of high profile women, started a conversation due to the fact that Channel 10 are doing a series of pilots, which we can discuss later on because Dave O'Neill's coming on. He's one of the guys who has been given
you,
the...
You hate Dave O'Neill?
I don't hate Dave O'Neill.
You want to see Dave out of work.
No. This is ridiculous.
I was upset because I looked at the picture of all the eight men and I wasn't one of them.
Yes, you weren't. So it had eight men and no women. We are given the opportunity to do a pilot. My beef was, if you're going to do a pilot and you're worried about women and whether they're good enough to do it, surely a pilot season is the time to do it and experiment with it. And that's all the point I was trying to make. It looked odd to me to have a bunch of...
You know why I'm upset? Because I only got five chances. I think I made five
pilots. See, you've had five TV shows.
And now you guys want to take the food out of my mouth.
Yep, the women want to have some fun too.
You want to have some fun. And let's be honest, we identified this yesterday. We don't need to play the bit from yesterday, but we did identify some of the funniest people in this country happen to be women.
And
there's a few of them out there. And it is my understanding, tell me if I'm wrong, but that they pitched pilots to Channel 10. Can I say that or not? Is that?
I believe, look, I know for a fact that one that Tony Martin actually was involved in called...
Childproof.
Childproof, which was co-written by Serena Powell, and a largely female cast, and that was one of the shows knocked back. And that was a show that is more than in... It's developed because it had been a stage show, for example, was well-written.
It's known.
It's known, and that didn't pass muster, and a few other shows. So I think it was really the point was... There are women who are putting forward things, but...
There's been some great support for your point from women and high-profile and well-respected women, from Magda Zubanski.
And men.
And men. Yes, correct. Yes. All right, stop correcting me.
But yes, Magda, Wendy Harmer has also
been
very vocal. And Jane Caro, who's written in their Sydney Morning
Herald. Well, she's a smart person.
She's a
woman.
Smart cookie, yeah. I'm very and very respectful.
There's also been a few dicks on social media, of course, who have to do their job as well, which is making a nuisance of themselves.
Which
and then
makes,
there's a lot of people in between who have something. So can we open this up? I would like to hear from the electorate on this and
look,
go
my point,
where.
My, and this is what the this is what I'm just saying is I think that there's plenty of funny women around at the moment who would like to be given the same opportunity and the chance.
And there was some smarty comments going, oh, Jewel, stop, make sure you can be funny. I said this yesterday, I'd put your resume up against anyone's in our business, in that department, so we can forget, we can put park that notion.
Look, let's just say I've been around for a long time. Okay. That's all.
You
so if you've got something to say, like, I'm interested to
a
hear.
A hoary old
opinion.
Media tart,
I
think, is the.
A hoary old right? media tart. Oh, there's your headline for tomorrow.
I don't think that's what we want to run with. I'm not sure whether that's.
You are a giant.
But you see,
of
and
your
I have
business.
A sense of humour.
Well, you do.
About
can we
like
do
that.
This? Give us a call and okay. make. Please make your contribution meaningful.
We're not
don't
whinging, by the way.
Snarky.
Stop saying women come whinge, 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 because we don't.
Let's have a discussion, a mature discussion, people.
133353, get involved, join in the show. We're talking about Jane and Jane's the reaction to Jane's comment on Twitter about the pilot season on Channel 10.
She's thrown a hand grenade into the room. And
you know I was not doing that at
she's
all.
She's been the hand that feeds her, according to some on social media who've made a sensible contribution.
I've opened up discussion.
You have opened up it for
and,
discussion.
And perhaps the next time another network does something like it, I'm just asking people to think about it before they do something.
And
like
let's put, you're talking about TV in this instance. It could
I
be
am.
Same true of radio, maybe.
It could
this
be.
Station, which is a male-skewed station, but that said, there's room
That's it.
For,
hello, I'm on air now,
you
so
are on air,
there
right?
you go.
And it doesn't hurt.
Positive steps being taken.
And I pointed out yesterday in stand-up, I think it's almost worked itself out because there's, you know, Stephen Stevens, funniest people in the country right now, women, I would tell you, in that department.
Well, that's good to hear.
Jen is on the line. Jen,
hey,
what's
Jen.
Your take on this?
Hi, guys. Look, I recall a certain television show called Can of Worms from a few years ago on Channel 10.
Yes.
It was originally hosted by Dicko, Ian Dicko Dixon, and yet that really fell flat because they had Chrissy Swan there on the side, and it just fell flat, and they just got rid of Dicko. Chrissy went in the chair, and it was great after that because, he just didn't work as a host.
Well, there you go. You see that Chrissy was one of the first female hosts of
Chrissy's
shows,
a very good broadcaster.
And she's a great and she's got great experience and flying hours
and
to do. And
she's smart.
Funny and smart.
Funny and smart, ticking every box.
Thanks,
so
Jen.
It can
That's
be done.
True. Can be done.
Okay, Chris, what have you got to say, mate?
Oh, hi, guys. Love the show.
Thanks.
Good on you, mate.
I think that women have already taken over the TV airways in the last probably 6 to 12 months.
In what capacity?
Well, in a news current affair capacity, in a panel show. I think there's a lot of blokes that don't have any work anymore from the looks of things.
Well, I wouldn't
That's
go that
going
far.
Going a bit far to I'm, say that blokes
however,
don't have
I,
work.
However, to Chris's point, if I watch cable news and I watch all those, most of the reporters are women. Is that a fair comment?
That is fair. That most of them are very attractive, young, blonde, thin women.
Look, I don't like to pigeonhole them like that, but yes, they may be.
But I'd also
they may
like
be considered
to suggest
hotties.
They're a little bit of eye candy, which is also another one of the
so that doesn't count
formats that is used in some particular areas of news broadcasting.
I get it. All right, so you're not saying that's a win for the for women necessarily.
Saying it's interesting decision making.
I get it.
There.
Gas.
Yes.
What would you like to say, mate?
I just think if you kept gender out of the actual pitching of the ideas and then the networks found out after they made the decision on what shows they wanted to go with and then it was just purely done off the idea rather than...
It sounds great, a little utopian and ideal, Gus, because I think television networks are after one thing and that is to make money.
Yeah.
And they also don't like taking risks.
Yes.
Particularly commercial networks.
A lot of the ideas are gender-based. Kath and Kim has got
Correct.
To be Kath and Kim.
That's right. And I don't think you can hide the fact whether women or men are going to be involved in a show. But anyway, thanks
anyway,
for that,
Anyway,
Gus,
it's an interesting contribution.
Yes. Chris?
Hi, how are you going?
Good.
I'm frustrated as well. I've been excited about the new Sports Tonight TV show that's been on.
Yes,
so
I've seen
Channel 10
that.
Are about to revamp, relaunch Sports Tonight. Used to be Webster.
I went to watch it and I had to turn it off because there's actually no women's sport whatsoever on it. And the parts that I saw, there were no female presenters and it was just
very frustrating for where we've come in women's
sport. Well, it's disappointing, Chris, because today with women's cricket, AFL football, basketball, netball is huge, and I appreciate that you're disappointed to see that. Let's give the show
sports
a go, though.
Sports is still underrepresented. I think women are underrepresented in sport.
It is, and the show's just, you know, kicking off again. I don't mind it, but maybe as time goes on, that they might find a female commentator at least on that one.
Sure.
Sam, how are you?
Good, thanks. Thanks for hearing me out, guys.
That's okay. Go ahead.
I work in the media industry myself, and I've worked in it for many, many years.
Yep.
Most shows get picked up, as you guys will both know, after having focus grouped and things of that nature. Why, when things get picked up, if it's all straight white guys, is it derogatory towards against minority groups or women? Why can't it be that the shows were picked up because they were the best ones available? I mean, the shows could be crap for all we know, but they could be potentially the best ones that were pitched.
Look, my problem is that I think a lot of the shows that have the opportunity to be pitched are pitched by guys. And I think there's a bit of nervousness about women pitching shows and what that's going to be. I think they really think that there's going to be some femo, crazy, we hate men type of program. That's not what it's going to be.
I'd watch that.
Would you? But honestly, I think there's different shows. There's shows like women are interested in crime. Women are interested in women are interested in travel. I mean, I'm just thinking off the top of my head. Why don't we have a travel show with a woman hosting it by herself, doing something different? Yes, based on her gender for that reason.
It's an interesting point you make. Where are we going now? Annie's on the line. How are you, Annie?
I'm good, thanks. I just want to say, Jane, I applaud you for raising this issue, and I think the negative feedback that you've received is just because you're challenging the actual reality of what, you know, I saw that article and my reaction was exactly the same.
Yeah. Well, look, I think that they probably, Channel 10 probably regret that it went out like that. And I'm sure that wasn't their intention to make it so blokey. The fact is, eight guys. Next time, maybe they have another series. Yeah. It might not be like that. And that's all. We're challenging people along the way. So
good on you, Annie. Thanks for your contribution. Justin, what would you like to say?
Yeah, hi, guys. I'm going to inject a bit of humour in here. I'm a bit disappointed with Channel 7.
Why?
Why is that?
Had a massive opportunity on Sunday night with the full Monty. Just all blokes.
With more women on TV.
Well, then you make a very fine point.
Give him a prize.
Yeah. Why were the women not stripping in the full Monty? Good point, Justin.
Yeah, a bunch of blokes out there.
Yeah, who wants to see that?
Who wants to see that?
Exactly.
It's a point well made,
Thanks
Justin.
For the laugh, Justin.
You got yourself a $100 Liquorland voucher there, Justin, for calling
Thanks,
through.
Guys.
Good on
well
you,
done.
Appreciate that.
There you go. Jeez, I would have rung up myself if I knew there was good prizes like that.
Oh, really? Yeah, no, they are
all
good
right, well
prizes.
Done, one and all. Yes.
Interesting discussion.
It's a good discussion.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Around Australia we go. Kennedy Malloy, also heard on 92.5 Gold FM on the Gold Coast.
Hello, Gold Coast.
We're going up the Goldie.
It's all been happening on the Goldie lately. We've just had the Logies. There's a lot going on. There's smoke haze everywhere up there the other day. I don't know why.
The weather's gone. Well, something else has gone.
What?
Cuckoo.
What's happening on the Goldie?
There is a nude cleaning company that has was launched 3 months ago.
If it was going to be launched anywhere in the world, it would be the Gold Coast where everyone is nude.
To do Stripper vacuuming, capital of the world. Dusting, washing windows in the nutty.
Okay, can I put my hand up for that?
I'm sure you'd like to. There's been outrage, as you can imagine.
By who?
Well, I can, for example, let you know what Gold Coast Councillor Dawn Critchlow thought about it.
Okay.
Here she is on the local radio station Gold FM.
We've now got people, a maid service, where you can get 2 hours for $650. You book now and you have a minimum of two of the team come to be your maid. They can cook, clean and serve your every need.
Right. Can I just ask quickly? She wasn't nude when she made that statement. Was she?
And may I just say, I think she sold it pretty well, to be honest.
This is what we do
incredible.
On the Gold Coast.
We have got the founder of the cleaning business, Brett Jones, on the line. G'day, Brett.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hi,
thanks, Brett.
Have you encountered any outrage? What's been the feedback so far? And how soon can I get on?
Oh, mate, we've got one going at about 7 o'clock to your place tonight, I think.
Oh, listen.
Thank you very much, because that'd be great, because my mum usually does the cleaning. I really don't want to in any way see my mother nude.
Brett, can I just ask, did you run a cleaning business before you decided to get your staff to nude up?
No, well, I've had a solar cleaning business, but not a household cleaning business.
What gave you the idea?
Too many Coronas.
yeah.
No. In all honesty, it was more about just we saw a gap in the market and we just went for it.
Well, that's one way to put it, especially if they're bending over to do the cleaning.
I saw a crack in the market. It would be.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, who are you catering for? Who's your basic client? Who's ordering this service?
Okay, look, guys, we've got both male and female cleaners.
Yep.
And it's very diverse. We've got from sort of 19-year-old uni students who think it's sit around and think it's fun, all the way up to late 80s and early 90s people that want
early 90s.
Yeah,
that's what I'd be doing.
Good
if I was
God,
sitting
me too. I've got not long to go.
Let's get around somewhere really clean.
It's very wide open, so to speak.
I like your thinking on this one. Has there been any incident? I mean, obviously you're sending nude people around to people. We've often seen nudity, but it's in public or in a licensed venue or where there's security. Has there been any instance where anyone has been worried who's turned up and had a creepy guy watching him clean?
Well, we've got really tight security measures in place.
Okay.
So, we can pinpoint.
Know what's going on.
We can pinpoint. And we've also got safety elements built into the apps and stuff. So, there's angel calls and we can get the people, extract anyone out. We haven't had to do that yet.
Can I throw my hat in the ring as a cleaner? I would like to. Maybe I could do some outdoor work, like mowing.
I don't think people want you.
We would love to see that. It would be great payout for us.
Mixed nude mowing. I come out, I mow it, I get the whippersnipper out.
Ooh, my God.
You have to be careful with that. I do your roof gutters.
I think it'll be a better. It might be the next movie made after Cracker Jack. So
it'll be called. That'd be my clean season.
Cracker Jack 2.
Cracker Jack.
All right,
keep us, Brett. We're intrigued. Yeah. We're not surprised. We love the Gold Coast for many reasons, and one of them is they are at the vanguard of nudity.
Talk about taking risks. We love this idea, but if it's all above board, good on you.
Hey, do you want to give them a plug? Who do you call if you want a bit of nutty action around the house?
Yeah, guys, just go to bearallcleaning.com and look us up.
I see you said bear all, not barrel.
No.
I don't want to see anyone called Beryl nude.
There's actually a couple of barrels, mate, and you would want to see them nude.
Wow.
And the prices vary depending on how big the cans are and stuff.
Okay. Not the cans, how big the rubbish cans are.
Okay, look, guys, just quickly, I know that you're really busy, but we've got three levels. We've got, you can go in, lingerie, topless, or full nude. And it ranges from $90 up to $100.
I can just see Naughty French Maid is just on mixed menu, I think. So.
Yeah. Putting the bins out.
And we cater for both.
All right.
Thanks, Brett.
Good on you, Brett.
We love it.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Coming up next, Dave O'Neill.
Yes.
Are you too cool?
You've
been having a crack at him on radio.
How dare you say that?
You've tried to run him out of the business.
I have not.
You've turned on him. You've turned
this
on your
own. This is outrageous. In fact, we're going to get Dave's show over the line, get it on, and everybody vote for it. This is what's going to come from this. See? Good things come from Twitter.
Well, there's a funny tweet about
it. Oh, I was going to call it out later.
I'll do it. We'll do it later.
We'll do it later.
About the two of you.
That's all right. We'll be all right. And I've known Dave for...
Yeah, have you been paying attention? You've hosted that, have you?
I've hosted.
So why
have you been paying attention?
Why would you turn on Channel 10?
Oh, stop it. Will you stop it? You're on Have You Been Paying Attention last night.
I was. As a contestant.
You're pretty funny, I have to
say. There
were
two chicks on the panel, which I thought was too much. I would have thought.
Over the line. And Denise Scott, too.
Denise Scott and Susie Yusuf were both bloody funny.
Can we hear a bit of you in case people missed it?
I missed it myself.
Yeah, you missed it yourself.
Have a listen. Here you are.
Tough words from the Prime Minister on Thursday.
And the time has come for the Pope to sack him.
The Pope to sack who?
Me. Bishop from the Royal Wedding.
Here's Camilla celebrating her 71st birthday. What does her cake say?
Help me, Nick.
71. Yeah, right.
Why is Cliff Richard happy this week? Nick.
Just received his embalming fluid.
MasterChef is getting close to the pointy end. On Wednesday, the contestants were cooking to raise money for what cause?
Matt Preston's yum cha bill.
Okay.
Gold Coasters have woken up to a very smoky start this morning, a thick smoke blanketing the city.
Why was the Gold Coast covered in smoke?
Mick.
Friction from stripper poles.
Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin shared a light moment during their press conference.
Mr. President, I give the ball to you, and now the ball is in your court.
That's very nice. That will go to...
Where will this go?
If I know Putin, I'd be checking to make sure that ball isn't full of nerve agents.
It's... After 2 years, what has officially ended in Turkey? Nick.
The world's longest half-price rug sale.
Heartbreak in the Australian swimming world this week. What's happened? Nick.
They ran out of still knocks.
Is not...
Very good.
What ended in... Yeah, there's better answers. What ended in what? Turkey after 2 years?
Half-price rug sale.
Let's just say moustache fire. The world's longest moustache fire.
Oh, very well done. Well done.
It's a very good show, and congratulations on winning the Logies. Yeah, also on the Gold Coast.
Yeah, exactly. We're all Gold Coast today.
We love them.
Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
And it is monstrous, to say the least. We will have our royal update. There's a load going on in those circles, Jane Kennedy.
There is, and that's what I was going to get into and delve into as well.
All right, get into that. We're also going to talk about team disputes, players within teams, not against opposition.
Who don't get on?
The Melbourne Rebels have got a real issue, and they're not the only ones in history. We're going to open up the phone lines.
Oh, I like stuff like that.
Yeah. Who do you know about internal feuds? We're going to take your calls, take your tweets, there's so much more. But firstly, we need to mend a few bridges.
I don't think we do.
We need to find a bit of common ground between our next guest and my co-host, who has tried to get him sacked from network.
You take that back now.
I don't take it back.
Take it
You've done everything you can. You've never been happy for Dave's success.
What success there is.
Listen.
And now you're trying to stop him when he gets his first
chance. Don't you ruin my relationship with
Dave. In a long time.
O'Neill.
You're trying to white ant our next guest, Dave O'Neill. How are you, Dave?
Thank you. Thank you very much. I love Jane Kennedy.
Have you been hurt by her comments?
I hope he has not.
The Twitter war, the social media. Well, we've got to explain what it is.
What did they say to you on Twitter, just out of interest? What's your...
So Channel 10 have got this thing, Pilot Week, and I've got a show called Dave, which is a sitcom.
In Pilot Week?
Based on my own life, with Glenn Robbins plays himself, which is very funny.
Oh, good.
And we've got many talented women, Emily Tahini's in it, Geraldine Hickey.
They're great girls.
Too many. You can only have one.
We'll cut some out. Dilruk J. Singer, Logie winner, is also in it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, this sounds like a very good show. Obviously, I was out of town, or you couldn't.
And obviously, I was out of town, too.
I'd love Dave. I'd love anyone to be in it.
Why can't I be in it?
Well, you had to work for free.
Why couldn't it be called Dave and Mick?
It's not all about you.
Yeah, but I want to be in it. I'm trying to help him. I'm trying to help him, Jane, destroy his career.
I wasn't trying to destroy Dave's career. I was pointing out a photo that was in a newspaper that was a mashup of eight blokes who were given the opportunity to do a pilot on Channel 10.
And you have
it's not the Gang of Four or the Gang of Eight. I'm one of the Gang of Eight.
You're one of the Gang of Eight.
And Jane's cracked it.
I
got her femo mates.
Well,
but you know what? I tell you what.
Dave replied back and said, listen, I'm in that photo and I paid for it myself. I've acted in it and directed it and it's all mine. And I'm really happy to have been asked to do a pilot, which I'm thrilled. And please watch it. And I agree. And then somebody's actually tweeted back, I hope you're okay together. It was like mum and dad fighting. And it was a bit. We weren't fighting, were we, Dave?
Tell me what's Dave about. I'm fascinated.
It's about the day in the life of Dave O'Neill. Don't fall asleep yet.
I'd watch that.
Because what happened was that I'd written shows. I tried to get my own show for a while. Mm. And Glenn Robbins actually said, why don't you write a show about your own life? And I said, well, what's so interesting about my life? And he said, well, you're always going to do some crap gig and there's some chaos at home with your three kids.
That's true.
And so I thought, one man, two lives. So I just, we filmed this pilot and I said, well, Glenn, you've got to be in. So he plays himself.
Right.
So it starts off, I have a discussion with my wife. So I drop the kids off to school. One of the dads wants me to get someone more famous for the school fete. So I approach Glenn. Glenn doesn't want to do it. Then I go to a footy club.
That could have been me.
Could have been you.
Well, if it gets up, the series.
Yeah, you could be in it.
You can be in it.
No, there's plenty of room for you guys.
There's been, you know, Ray Romano basically based a show on his life and himself, and Jerry Seinfeld. I think that's why it will work, because you can't fake it. That's what your life is, and it'll be organic. You're writing
about your own life.
Yeah, that's funny.
And
one episode net with you, I reckon.
So we go to a footy club, which is based on a true story, where I make jokes about Brendan Favola and his mum's in the room, and they throw dim sims at me, which actually happened to me. And so then Favola turns
That's
up
good
to the
feedback generally, isn't it?
Dim sim. Favola turns up to the fight and punches me. So I don't want to give away too much.
Well, I hope that's not
the
ending.
Brendan Favola play himself?
He plays himself.
Show's okay, Dave, so do you know the concept here is that they will screen these pilots over a week on Channel 10, and yours is one, and then viewers get the opportunity, I guess,
Has this
to
been successful
call up or
around
vote
the world?
Well, yeah, so they did it in England years ago, and that's how we got Steptoe and Son. And,
good heavens.
So you would never have got Steptoe and Daughter. That wouldn't have gone
exactly.
up.
Exactly. Didn't he have any daughters?
Lucky he had
it would
son.
Now, though.
Was Steptoe was an old bastard.
Steptoe and family.
It's about an old bastard and his son.
It's true. It's
right.
But the only reason I did, I you know, as you read, I paid for myself, I organised it myself, and I convinced people like Glenn to work for free, because the only TV shows I would get offered is weight loss shows. Shows that involve being fat. So I got asked to be, what was that one where they dived off boards? I
asked
Man Overboard.
Titanic.
No,
Celebrity Splash.
Splash.
I got asked to be in there because they wanted a fat guy in his bathers.
Because that would be funny.
I got a call from Channel 9 about a show called Get Thin, Get Fat.
I got called by Channel 9 to do Celebrity Overhaul.
Wow.
Celebrity Overhaul. I said, what's that involve? He goes, oh, well, you come in, it's over 8 weeks, and we try and beat you to shape. I go, yeah, you're going to need more than 8 weeks.
8 months.
I said, you are not going to touch the sides. Click.
Get Thin, Get Fat, the guy from Channel 9 goes, it's a great concept. What we do is we get you in a house with a skinny person, preferably a woman, and we film it. And I go, well, so that's the show. You can come around to my house and my wife's skinny.
That's like every sitcom I've ever seen.
Exactly.
It's a fat guy.
Yeah. No.
There's a hook. There's a hook.
What's the hook?
The fat person has to eat the thin person's food, and the thin person has to eat the fat person's food.
Good hook.
And I just go, yeah, I'd love to eat fat people's food. I love doing
that. They're effectively making you a feeder or an enabler. Is that what they're encouraging to do?
Celebrity Fat Camp was another one.
Jeez.
Which they
Celebrity Fat Camp?
This was the pitch.
I'm a bit disappointed I wasn't called up for that.
You get to go to a remote location and fight for your food. It's like a cross between Survivor and The Biggest Loser.
Now I said, that I'd watch.
Yeah, I want the kids to turn on the TV and see me, you know, wrestling Casey Donovan to the ground for the last chicken wing. I want
Yeah, that's something your kids would be really proud of.
I want to see the pilot week. Right. Well done, Dave. Hang around, mate.
Right, thanks.
We'll kind of talk during the break and see if we can get you two back on the show.
No, we're happy.
Break.
Listen, we're
no
made
problems.
Up. There's never been a problem
Don't
between us.
Don't take your best.
Your new way to drive home. Kennedy Malloy.
The models I hear motion on Kennedy Malloy, picked by Dave O'Neill, who always comes in with some really good songs. Amazing Flash. We love it.
Great Aussie band. Did
you see them?
First band I saw underage when I was 17 in 1982.
Lovers and Models. I saw a couple of times. Do you know what? They're playing at once at my local, the Pier Hotel in Frankston, which is where I grew up. And I remember we were upstairs. That was a fairly ripe band room. And they blew the beer blew at about halfway through their concert, and the on duty manager who hadn't been there long, ex Navy, while I was behind the bar, said, "What do you want to do?" He goes, "Oh, I'll just turn the beer off." I go, "Mate, you need a better option than that." He goes, "No, just turn the beer off. Just turn it off.
Really?
Stop serving it." So, cut to an hour later when we're in the tap room with all the kegs pushed up against the door as the crowd as the crowd riots, and I go, lucky it was the models. Because the models.
The angels. Imagine the angels.
Imagine Barnsley.
Rose tattoos.
Yeah.
Models were more fringe, new wave.
Yeah,
well, I saw them at the CB Ballroom, which is a legendary venue in Melbourne. And we were underage, and we'd never been to a gig before. We got there at 7 p.m. When the support band, the Go-Betweens, were doing their sound check.
Yes.
And the drummer, Lindy, said, are you boys here to see the models? They were like, yeah, there's not many people here. She goes, no, this is a sound check.
I thought it sounded a little early to go to a gig.
It's very early. I think it might have been 6:30, in fact. We didn't know what time it started.
That's sweet.
We went and saw the models, and they were great. But then during the models, these
models were fantastic.
These two policemen in uniforms walked up the stairs, and so we all panicked. There was a rush for the toilets to climb out the windows. And so we dropped down, and then we walked outside. I'm like, oh, no. And then we saw the cops. I mean, this was a 982, drinking pots.
Of course they did. Of course they did.
So we went back in. They shouted at us one.
That makes sense.
Were unbelievable. I was working in the public bar of the Pier Hotel, and then behind the bar, and the cops walked in, and I hear all this clink, 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 clink. Anyway, I'm out collecting glasses, and I look in the drip trays, and there's daggers, knuckle dusters.
Really?
The odd handgun.
Really?
Everyone just emptied pockets. Good old days.
Good old days.
It was
exactly.
A good time. It was ripe. What else have you been doing, mate?
Well, school holidays are just over in my house. Yes. And that was a nightmare.
What do you mean? Time for you to bond with the kids.
Yeah, no, I'm sort of on Dave's side because it is when
I've
you're.
I've just had the boys for a while.
Well, it's, as they
was
get
your
older.
Mum there?
No, one out, Mickey.
Just you.
Yeah.
As they get older, it's harder.
Well, they talk back.
They talk back, but also we had this. We had like a Lego shop open up near us, and I'm like, this is the best thing ever. So I drop them off for 3 hours, come back, and the guy's like, oh, this is not a childcare center. And I'm like, well, nor is a TAB, mate. So better off here.
Amazing.
It's a Lego center where they can build Lego.
Yeah, they can build stuff.
That's like Tiffany's for
that's
5 year olds.
Cool.
A Lego shop.
Yeah, they love
Lego. Lego's really expensive.
Oh, so yeah. I went to the Lego exhibition. I took this as a while ago, over Christmas.
We went to the Brickvention.
Yeah.
Ooh,
so
I've been there. Pretty cool.
So I went there. It was set up. It was the exhibition centre. But to leave it, you have to go through a temporary shop that's been set up. So it's
you can't yourself.
You can't. By myself
in a raincoat.
But you cannot with my two boys. Thank
with
you.
The kids, not there
and
by
you
himself.
But did you find that with the guys? They made some. So you go and they'll have the White House made out of Lego, the Opera House, and the little kids will go to turn. There'll be a guy going, "Don't touch! Don't touch! Excuse me! Do not touch that!"
I just kept telling them how long it took someone to make that.
Oh, really?
That was 3.5 days, boys.
Oh, Dad!
But it is incredible. Dave's a bit of a Lego builder.
Oh, we've got heaps of Lego still left over at home. In fact, and because kids don't play it anymore. So
yes, they do.
Can I say something?
eBay. My kids play Lego all the time.
You're a mighty disappointment to us. You promised you would bring in your Lego, which he reckoned he won a Lego award.
Yeah. What?
Ballarat 1982. Yeah, I was...
You're an early developer.
I was one step away from going to the city to compete and one step away to go to Copenhagen to Legoland to win.
You're 25 at this stage? He's an adult fan of Lego. That's what they're called.
So yes. I like the... it's always getting the ages right and the modern buildings right, which they're getting into them. So I bought the other day, I bought them the Lego Myth Lab. It's fantastic. So it's got little people.
Next to the brothel, the Lego brothel. You know, you need a Lego McMalloy.
Actually, that's a good idea.
It's not a bad idea.
It's good. I could pop it on this stool.
Minifigure. The minifigure.
So how'd you end up with school holidays?
It was okay, but, you know, my heart goes out to the teachers because every gig I would do during the school holidays, I would say there are any teachers in it. They're all so happy. But because, you know, I study teaching and I still look at when I go on excursions with the kids and stuff at school, I look at some of the kids and I go, what's wrong with them? You know what I mean? Like, what's wrong with some of these kids?
What do you mean?
No, well, some of the kids are just, you go, what's wrong with them? They're badly behaved. There's stuff going on. And you go, what's going on? And then their parents turn up and you go, oh, right.
I get it.
Get the picture.
But they did ask, I'm reminded of a story. They asked my son in kinder what he wanted to do when he grew up. And the teacher told me this afterwards. So your son... Like we asked him what
he wanted. Gary?
Scary.
Is this Gary? I wanted to end on a Gary story.
What do you want to do when you grow up? And he goes, I want to sit on the couch, watch TV, and eat potato chips. And the kinder teacher goes, that's not a job. He goes, well, that's what my dad does.
Well done, Gary.
Well, you do it very well.
Well done, Dave.
Thank you. Yes.
Anything you want to plug, mate? Podcasts, of course. Who's on the latest one? What's it called?
There's Somehow Related in the debrief. Somehow Related. We'll plug that because that's got Glenn Robbins on it.
Glenn Robbins.
Every week.
Can we get Glenn in here soon?
I believe Russell Coit is going to come to Kennedy Malloy Studios.
Oh, here we go. The debrief, Somehow Related, get on board. You chatting to Glenn Robbins, who you obviously prefer over me because he's in my pilot.
But no, you can.
I had you on my show. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember.
Well, I don't know.
You had my dad in your show.
I had your dad in my show, and yet I can't get a gig on. Unbelievable.
But it's only the first episode. There's plenty more episodes.
Well, you know, you say that now. So, Somehow Related, The Debrief, excellent podcast. Anything live?
No, I've got some stuff for sale on eBay. You want to check it out? like some
and,
pop
and for Pilot some Week, Pilot Week, which Jane doesn't want you to watch.
Oh, when, God's sake.
I'll let you know.
When is it?
It's late August.
Late
so
August.
We'll have you in. You can
and we
talk
can
about
vote
it.
On that. We'll get you in the day before and we'll get all the Triple M audience to vote for you.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Awesome.
What a bombshell earlier, last week. I couldn't believe this. You don't hear this often at teammates. Coming to blows, but there's a nasty story about the Melbourne Rebels and two longtime friends, childhood friends, Lepeti Tamani and Amanaki Mafi, came to blows, and it's not a great story. One of them is either ended up in hospital in one of them ended up in hospital, one of them ended up in jail, both in New Zealand.
I think they're at a wedding. I think there was something or someone took
They'd been to the footy. No, they'd just finished qualifying. They were in a super rugby match and they were waiting to watch a qualifying game. One of them used a swear word in front of the other's sister. They took exception. Him and his brother beat the suitcases out of him over a four-hour period. I'm paraphrasing, but that's as much as you need to know. He ended up in hospital and it's serious enough that Murphy, I believe, may be out now, but he was still cooling his heels in jail. Now, I say that, I'm not interested in the violence of it, but you just don't hear of teammates.
Well, you don't. I mean,
coming to blows. It happens occasionally on the training track, and they do that when you go, you guys need to sort something out. And
when they niggle each other.
It'll happen, but you don't often in a social setting come to an understanding where two teammates, 133353, if you can think of any.
There have been some beauties over the years, though, that,
Think of Clark Kadich. That's a famous one. Clark, who was captain of Australia at the time, and Kadich, whose job it was to sing Underneath the Southern Cross, Stand.
Yes.
And it was always up to him to call. This is after a test, after you win a test series.
It's tradition.
Series, it was handed down, I think, from Booney to Kadich. Or Booney, it goes down the line. And it was palmed off to Kadich. He gets to call it. Clarkey, who was going out with Lara Bingle at the time, who didn't understand his urgency to get home, said, "Mate, I want to go." And he goes, "Mate, it's my call. I'll sing it when I want." And because no one's allowed to go until it's sung, they came to blows. And I remember hearing that going, "Well, it's the last time you'll probably see those two guys."
That's sad. Over something
in
like
a
that.
Team together. Prost Senna.
Oh, yeah, that's a big one.
Prost Senna, that is in. We've got a race call here. I think these guys hit each other on the track and, again, just did not like each other.
And if Prost comes up to any of them, this is the opportunity that Senna's looking for. And he's going through. Out! Oh, my goodness, this is fantastic. They meet. This is what we were fearing might happen during the race. And that means to say that Prost has won the World Championship.
Is that featured in the Senna in the movie?
You're out. Yeah. Guess what? Oops. You win by taking the other guy. Oh, jeez Louise.
That's a good one.
Anything that's springing to mind?
There Kobe Bryant and Shaquille O'Neal? That was sort of a famous old one.
From the NBA, both playing for the LA Lakers. Both egos.
Through the roof.
Probably the two best basketballers going around at the time. Famous rift. Both like to take the credit for winning. And it got to the point where Shaq delivered one of those. Is it a diss track?
Diss track,
Is that what you call
that's
it? Dange?
At a nightclub.
Have we got Shaq's.
Let's have a listen.
Check it. You know how I be. Last week, Kobe couldn't do without me. You know how I be. Last week, Kobe couldn't do without me. Now that's the difference between first and last place. Kobe, tell me how my ass tastes.
There you are.
Okay. Kobe, tell me how my ass tastes. Okay, everybody. Kobe, tell me
how my ass tastes.
All together now.
Jeez. Okay, Matt's got one to get the ball rolling. Matt, who springs to mind for you? You're going to the world of AFL.
Yeah, Satanta helping.
That's right.
Carlton training.
Carlton training kicked Clokey up the coin.
Up the backside,
but you don't have to say punched him. He dropped him to the ground.
Yeah.
He turned over and then kicked him right in the.
Wow.
Wazoo.
Nether regions.
And nice how help him. That was the only target he hit all season. Correctly.
Whack.
All right, Matt, thanks for your input. You get the idea.
Yeah,
we'd like to hear from you. If, is there anywhere missed? Might even be in your local league. We don't know.
Yeah.
Give us a call, 133353.
This is Kennedy Malloy, your new way to drive home.
1-3-3-5-3. Call through. We're talking teammate feuds, famous or maybe a local sporting one. Jane Kennedy, Mick Molloy.
And this has come to mind because of a nasty feud between two Melbourne Rebels in the sport of rugby union in New Zealand after a game and came to blows.
They got out of control, really.
One went to hospital, one went to jail. You don't hear of it very often. So he just thought, what are the great sporting feuds? Not with competitors, but with your own teammates.
Yes.
What's coming up? Tim's on the line. Tim, you got one for us?
Yes, I have, Mick. It was a game in Sydney about 10, 15 years ago with the opposition team.
Well, what sport? What sport?
Ice hockey.
Ice hockey, okay. Right. You've got to fight someone, don't you, in ice hockey?
That's very true. And these two guys decided to go have a bit of a dust-up on their own team on the ice. It was incredible.
On the ice. That's fantastic. And how was that resolved?
The referee kicked them off, and they were going to the change room, and all of a sudden they dropped their gloves and went out again. Out of the
Keep going.
This is interesting. I love the fight. The fights in baseball are my favourite fights.
Oh, yeah. Really?
And the fights in ice hockey.
How do they fight in baseball? What's the difference?
Well, the pitcher strikes the batter, and then they clear the benches. Yep. Everyone comes from every...
They don't use the bat, do they?
No. They come in, and it is all men
it's all the masks
going berserk, and it goes... Ice hockey, same. When I was in Vancouver for the ice hockey, I was doing some filming, and I was about to leave, and the guy at the local booth said, oh, no, you want to hang around for this? I said, what's going on? He goes, well, it was under 14s. He said, this is the most violent age... of all, because in Canada, everyone can basically skate before they
walk.
So they can all skate, but what the scouts want to know is, can you handle yourself on the ice?
Wow.
So I honestly listened to the coach addressing the boys with the parents going, that guy doesn't walk off the ice. This guy's down in the first 5 minutes. With the parents consenting.
Oh, wow. You're kidding.
And what, because they had to prove it, and what transpired was the most violent child sport I'd ever seen in my life, bar none. Ice hockey, should be more of it. Chris, what's going on, mate? Who's the feud?
Well, I've got a couple of more recent Formula One feuds for you.
Oh, please,
Sebastian Vettel and Mark Webber.
Did not like each other,
Things got quite frosty between them after a collision.
And who else?
And also Lewis Hamilton, Nico Rosberg.
I reckon you can almost put Ricciardo and Verstappen in there now too. But isn't it interesting that this is Formula One keeps coming up because it's the same team, but there's an individual honour.
Yes.
So you've got Driver 1, Driver 2, and it's the only sport I know of where on radio you can rig the result, where you can actually say, let him pass, he wins, you're the number one driver, he's the number two driver, and there's a very uneasy alliance at team level.
I was going to say, that last caller could be a caller for the motor racing. Right. Loved his voice.
Well, you're not bad there. Jai, are you there?
Yeah, g'day, team. How are we doing?
Good, mate. The local feud, you got one?
Oh, this is a pearl. This is going back to my primary school mixed netball career when we used to play inter-school sport on a Friday afternoon. So goal shooter and goalkeeper, one of us wanted to go shooter more than the keeper, and broke out in the 50 cup. So,
but is this mixed?
Mixed, definitely mixed. So the visiting school, or the school we were visiting, were just dumbfounded. I can just remember them just looking at us.
And was it a fight between boy and girl, boy?
me and actually, he ended up being one of my long-term mates as
Really?
So I think that's how you make mates.
Isn't it funny how you're never going to forget that game too?
I never have.
Good on you, Jay. That's
mixed
great.
Netball, I've never approved of it. That's why. That's what could go on.
Come on. Hey, there's a good one coming up from you, Rodney. What have you got?
How you going, guys?
Yeah, good.
Stage, first time caller, long time listener. Even back from the 90s when you and Mark Molloy, Mick.
Good on you, mate. Times have changed, but we're still in. You can't get rid of me. What's happening, mate?
What I remember, probably 10 years ago, it was a V8. It was Mark Scaife and Russell Ingle. Eastern Creek.
Yep, that was very famous one.
Motorsports are well represented here today.
Funny about that.
There's a theme.
It was a classic scene, Scaife on the side of the track, with his helmet in his hair ready to throw it at him.
And
Ingle swerved at him to run him over.
There's a fair bit of that in MotoGP too. Yeah. Guys with helmets walking, charging towards
slamming them down.
Someone else. It's good to see Rodney.
Thanks, Rodney.
Well done. We're going overseas, Rowan. What's the sport?
Yeah, it's basketball. It was Michael Jordan and Steve Kerr.
Yeah, now, what happened? Was there a particular incident or just general dislike?
No, they actually, I think it was more of a, Michael Jordan always had a reputation of trying to test his teammates to see how far he could push them, because obviously if you want to go to where he wanted to go, he wanted people that were tough enough to handle it. So when he came back
after... Was this with Chicago Bulls? Was it?
Yeah,
was it?
The 96 season when he first came back from his baseball hiatus.
Yes.
And, they were in training camp and the session, Steve Kerr was sort of... He's now the Golden State Warriors coach.
Yes.
He was a bit of a fringe player and fighting for his roster spot sort of thing. So he was, you know, really into Jordan in the practices, and Phil Jackson, the coach at the time, sort of could see things getting a bit heated, so he decided, I'll let the guy sort this out for himself, and he went off to his little office off in the training thing, and a couple of plays later, Kerr was right in Jordan's shirt again, and Jordan just pushed him and just punched him right in the grill.
I love it.
Steve Kerr's basically got back up and said, what of it, and let's keep going then.
And on and on. The rest is history. Well done, Rowan.
Hey, guys, the phone's been running off the hook regarding teammate feuds, famous local sporting ones.
Have we got time for another quick one?
Yeah, Craig's rung through.
Okay, Craig.
Hey, Craig, how you going?
Hello, guys. How you doing?
What are you recalling?
So grew up in the UK watching the EPL.
Yep.
And I was at a game, Newcastle United versus Aston Villa, in about 2005. And halfway through the second half, two Newcastle players, two teammates just start lumping the crap out of each other in the middle of the game.
Yes.
And were you there?
Yeah, I was, yeah. So I was there. There was action at the other end of the pitch, and all of a sudden, you get your attention drawn, and all of a sudden, by the halfway line, they're absolutely going, rich shirt, blood coming out of noses.
Oh, no.
Teammates pulling apart.
Now, who were the teammates?
So it was Lee Bowyer.
Yeah.
He had a reputation.
And I remember watching this live too, because he became from Leeds United, didn't he?
Yes, that's
and
right.
And I remember him at Leeds United, and I think they'd kind of got rid of him because he was a bit hard to manage. He was a reasonably good footballer.
He had his moments. And then Kieran Dyer, both of them had a reputation at the time.
I remember watching this live, because and I remember it because of Lee Bowyer. We got the commentary of that game.
Oh, yeah, have you?
Oh, there's a fight going on here between two Newcastle players. Kieran Dyer and Lee Bowyer are having a fight. Goodness me, what on earth is going on? It's a red card for Kieran Dyer. And that means it will have to be, surely, a red card for Lee Bowyer. It is.
But they both got sent off.
Yeah, both got sent off.
And what was it over?
I think they had a bit of a reputation about... Newcastle had a reputation of being a bit of a party central city. So there was something that happened off the field, and then he passed to him on the pitch, and I think it all escalated from a training ground incident, which should have been kept behind closed doors.
I think it was over a girl, wasn't it?
Something to do with a girl.
I was going to suggest it had to be something like that.
Well, that's where done, Craig. Give him a prize.
Yeah, though. Prize back for you coming your way,
good
Craig.
On you.
Hey, it's time to clean up a few loose ends before we go.
Nearly
people
the end
are
of the show.
Still sending through teammates feuding. For Melbourne listeners, Luke Darcy had a go at his old mate Bob Murphy.
Really?
Did he?
Yes, he did. He turned on him at training. The big ruckman taking
you
on the...
You can't touch Bob Murphy.
A very young Bob Murphy who was sniped from behind, if I remember correctly.
Darcy.
Well done, Greg Shields. Darcy, he's got a nasty streak. I'll be on the Hot Breakfast this Friday to talk Richmond Collingwood with our old mate, of course,
terrific,
Eddie Maguire. And one from David Burse.
Yeah.
This is from the SANFL. The Gowan twins apparently went hard at it. Twin brothers, same team.
Yep.
One of them didn't like the other. This is from David Burse for didn't like the other's decision. quarter ended with everyone sitting around watching the two twins punch on. have you got there?
We were talking about the nude cleaning service we chatted with.
On the Goldie, Gold Coast.
Brett has got a suggestion. Because you were thinking you might like
it. Because I might do an outdoor version
might
for
do
the
one.
Mowing.
Yeah, yeah, I think, he says, I think Mick's nude mower service should be called Jack-a-Crack.
That's not bad either.
Nice
I like
one.
It. And there'll be more about your dog.
Yeah, Marty.
On tomorrow's show.
Marty's got no nuts and lost his self-confidence.
Marty,
no
can't
nuts.
Walk. All right. Hey, we've got the PM and Lawrence Mooney as well tomorrow.
Great.
See you then. Kennedy Malloy.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.